D-Box Radio.
Hi, I'm Maxine Margot Rubin, and this is The Many Shades of Green, a program that explores environmental and social issues that reflect the greening of our communities. The Many Shades of Green delves into topics that affect the environment both locally and globally as we move to raise social awareness via culture and politics, music, and the arts. There are many variations or shades of environmental consciousness which affect what actions we take to protect the planet. Everyone has a shade of green that connects them to the natural earth. We'd love to hear from you and hear your voice on these topics, so please tweet us at TM Shades of Green and like us on Facebook/The Many Shades of Green. Our guest this week, Ken Gale. He's an educator, activist, and host of the radio program Ecologic on WBAI. Ken has a wealth of information on many environmental topics, and today we will specifically touch on the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement, which is currently being secretly negotiated by government officials and corporate entities who stand to greatly benefit from the agreement. So, Ken, welcome to the Many Shades of Green. How you doing today?
Okay. Thanks for inviting me.
I'm glad to have you back. You're a friend of the show. You and I both do radio shows about the environment.
Yeah.
And it's an effort to disseminate information about a topic that is really underreported in the mainstream media.
Yeah. You know, when I was younger, I used to think in order to stop nuclear power and put up safe energy, somebody would have to die. Well, that's happened. I mean, a lot of people have died. And so they sort of sweep it under the rug or deny it or whatever and keep going. I mean, people died from Three Mile Island. People died from Chernobyl. People died from Fukushima. And people keep going. The governments do what the corporations tell them to do, and the corporations say, we want that money.
Right.
And it's weird. You'd think that the people who govern would care about the people that they govern, but they don't.
No, it's gotten to the point of, I feel like I'm in an alternate universe most of the time these days, because what has to be done to help people is not being done. And the pockets of the corporates and all the CEOs and all the quote-unquote 1%, they're getting the gold and the green.
We do have victories.
Okay, let's talk about some victories.
And there's
then.
Been a few of them lately.
Good, let's talk about victories. We want to hear some good things.
I mean, the governor of Pennsylvania is like, frack anywhere. All right, you know, we don't care what it does to the water. We don't care what it does to the air. We don't care what it does to property values. We don't care what it does to the health. We just want to frack everywhere. And it got brought to court, and the Supreme Court of the state of Pennsylvania recently found that local municipalities can stop frack anywhere. Now these frackers have to talk to the local people. And local politicians are a lot more responsive to the local people because their kids go to school with them. They see them every day. Sometimes they're not even paid. They have their regular day job with the people who voted for them. And that was an amazing victory. And the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette had an article about it. And doctors in Pennsylvania were forbidden from telling their patients if anything that was wrong with them had anything to do with fracking and the pollution from fracking. And it looks like that's not going to be legal either.
How can they do that? That's like
because a doctor is licensed.
Doctor-patient. Yeah, I know a doctor is licensed, but they're also, they took a Hippocratic oath.
Right, but if
or a Hippocratic oath in this case.
If the people who license them say your license is going to be taken away if you say what we don't like, then the doctors realize they have no livelihood. This is what they went to school for. This is what they have experience for. What are they going to do if they can't practice medicine? So they do what the people who give them the license tell them to do. The same thing has happened in Japan. No doctor in Japan is allowed to tell their patient that Fukushima caused any of their problems. No matter how obvious it is to the patient, the doctor can't say that. Because this way, they'll have statistics saying that nobody was harmed by Fukushima. Or Fukushima Daiichi, I should say. Fukushima is a prefecture, right?
Right, right.
And, you know, it's, I don't know if you would call that clever on their part, it's pretty despicable.
I found it beyond outrageous.
I mean, it's close to evil. Doing something like that, keeping a doctor from doing what a doctor does. But money,
And I mean,
it's,
was
and
there
it's
a
money from a few. They're taking money from many and giving it to a few, and they're sacrificing all that many. It's a bizarre way of doing things. The governor is really worried. There was a lawsuit against a fracking company, and it was a criminal lawsuit. And that's what the inquiry reported on. And it's pretty amazing that you can bring a criminal suit against a company that kills with a pen. Because normally, if you kill with a pen, you're allowed to do that.
Right.
You know, there's laws against employment if your employment is shooting somebody one-on-one with a gun. But if you do it with a pen, there's no law against that.
Right.
Maybe there's got to start being laws against that.
I guess on the grassroots level, I mean, if enough voices are getting heard, and apparently in Pennsylvania, it seems to be taking... you know, place.
It took years.
You know, not just in Pennsylvania, but all over the country. I mean, especially in Texas, where they can just dig anything anywhere at any time without any, you know, the public doesn't know. The person who lives on the property is like, it's too bad. You know, we're just...
They have interesting water laws in Texas that if a stream goes through your property to somebody else's, you can take it all and your neighbor doesn't get any, and it's perfectly legal. Or you can pollute it all. You can do anything you want to it. If the water goes through your property first, it's your water.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know,
there is an environmental movement growing in Texas. There's an educators movement growing in Texas, complaining about those five people decide what's in every textbook in Texas, and therefore every textbook in the country. There's pushback against that. So something's going on in this country because people are starting to pay more attention, and they're starting to do something about it.
That's a positive thing to hear, because you know you hear all the stuff again in mainstream media, and they don't tend to touch on stuff that really is at the core of things.
Without mainstream help,
right?
Grassroots organizers, one over a period of years, and I guess I really want to stress the period of years part, because one of the tactics that polluters take is to wait us out. Because there are so many terrible things going on. People just go to the next thing and the next thing. Or they get overwhelmed and stop. And I could see the strategy that they were making with fracking when it was new. You know, they would, like Chesapeake Energy said, oh, we're not going to frack in the New York City watershed. They're trying to divide New York State into upstate and downstate. And all it did was make the downstate people insist on saying, no, all of the water in the whole state, protect everybody's water, everybody's health, everybody's air, everybody's property values.
You know what the status is in New York now? Is there an update we can give people? What's happening? I know there was a moratorium, and Cuomo was waiting for more information.
Yeah, the moratorium, I mean, it's just a delay. If there's a moratorium, if a fracking lease is for 10 years, the time of the moratorium doesn't go to that. So that means if it's a one-year moratorium, the fracking lease just became for 11 years. So it's a very shady sort of thing, this moratorium, instead of having a ban.
Well, there's a lot of places upstate. You know, I mean, I go upstate and I see the no fracking with the, you know, circle with the line down. And a lot of communities are really, really against it, because especially up in the Finger Lakes and Canandaigua, where they have pristine, you know, AAA drinking water, and they're going to frack next to it could leach into this amazingly beautiful lake.
And destroy the wine industry,
which is huge up there. It's
huge, and it's one of the highest quality wines in the world. Comes from New York State, and they want to destroy the water that makes that wine.
Yeah.
And there's a governor who says, well, that's okay. He'll take oil industry, and they're taking money out of New York and bringing it to Texas and Oklahoma. And whose money are they taking? Well, those people who used to have those wineries. And the jobs that they keep talking about, well, those jobs come from out of state.
Right.
Because they're not going to frack with people who've never fracked before. They're going to bring somebody with experience. And then when they talk about the number of jobs, included in that number are things like prostitutes.
Right, right. I know.
And it's sort of like, well, wait a minute now.
You know, that's
break
a
these
job.
Jobs down.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. And it's, you know, I mean, I don't want to say, you know, a bar just should not exist and people shouldn't have patrons.
Right.
But that is not a job that is, you know, is sort of because of the fracking and sort of not.
Right, because that job is not going to stay there. You know, that job is going to go away once once the well's in place and they all leave, and they leave behind all that wonderful stuff.
Yeah.
And it's just, I don't know.
But I mean, the best news about fracking is that we haven't started yet. Right?
That's true.
New York State hasn't fracked. And that's totally through citizens.
Mm-hmm.
Without mainstream media, without nothing out of, except like, you know, Bbox and BAI and and this, you know, independent media stuff, there's nothing in mainstream media that's anti-fracking.
Right, well.
Yeah, if they cover an anti-fracking rally, they'll give as much space to a fracker as they will to the thousands of people who were there.
Right. Can you talk about how good fracking is going to be and all the oil and gas that we're going to get and we're going to become independent? Hey, zippies out there, you know, get your brain in gear, because whatever's being fracked, a good part of it's going to be sent out of the country, not into the country. And they don't get that. They're just, you know, energy independence, independence on various levels. And that brings us to another question and another thing that's happening right now, which is very much on the minds of people like you and I, but I think the general public is not really getting any information about it. And that's the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement. And it's like NAFTA on steroids, pretty much. That's what I've been reading about.
Yeah.
Can you explain NAFTA? And then can you tell us a bit about who the players are in this TPP?
Yeah,
I'm going to call it a fiasco because it is.
And it's quite. I mean, they call them free trade agreements, and they're not free, and they're not really about trade, and not very agreeable. And NAFTA is a North American free trade agreement put in by Clinton. And he was touting jobs when he put that in, and it was to eliminate tariffs between Canada, Mexico, and the U.S. And what happened was jobs left the U.S., and environmental regulations were degraded. So there was a lot of real problems with NAFTA, and there's been some bizarre lawsuits having to do with NAFTA, where...
How do they know what to sue? Because no one even... I mean, oh, NAFTA, NAFTA's been in place for a while. I'm talking about TPP.
It's the ability of a corporation to sue a government. In El Salvador, which is part of the North American Free Trade Agreement, they wanted to build a gold mine in the mountains of El Salvador. They used cyanide to mine gold.
Cyanide.
That cyanide would have poisoned the water supply of half of the population of El Salvador. So the government of El Salvador said, no, you can't do that. So the gold mine, Pacific Rim, sued the nation of El Salvador for future lost income under NAFTA.
That was a company in a...
Pacific Rim was a company... You know, all you have to do is have an office somewhere in one of the NAFTA countries.
Right, right.
And you can do the lawsuit. And they won the first round. They haven't done the gold mine yet, and El Salvador hasn't paid out because it's still in court. But the court is an international tribunal. It's not a local court. And so these are the people who brought you the WTO, the World Trade Organization. Mm-hmm. They get to decide whether that lawsuit, whether you win it or lose it. And some people say, well, they're just trying to get money out of El Salvador that, you know, they get to just, the mining company says, this is how much we would have made. And where do they get that number from? You know, what part of their body do they pull it out of?
Yeah, we know what part.
Yeah.
But it's the lower part.
But the point is, that number gets put into court. And now El Salvador has to pay it or fight it and spend money fighting it. And if the future lost profits, and we're talking, you know, they're using 10 years, I think.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of money. And if for a poor country, that's a big part of their GNP, a lawsuit like that.
Wow.
So I'm sure that's what Pacific Rim is looking for, some sort of out-of-court settlement, so they don't have to build the mine, or they don't have to get known as a poisonous company or anything like that.
Wow.
So that's under NAFTA. And so now you put NAFTA on steroids, and now you can sue for lots and lots and lots and lots of reasons.
Just making lawyers of the world very happy. Well, we're going to talk about more of this after the break. It's a subject that sorely needs to be out there, and people really need to get involved. And we'd like you to get involved with the conversation with Ken Gale about the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement. You can tweet us your thoughts at TM Shades of Green. And thanks for listening, and we'll be right back with more after a quick break. And we're back with Ken Gale, host of Ecologic on WBAI, and he's knows so much about environmental issues, and we're grappling with one issue right now, which is very, very scary, and it's the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement. It's currently being negotiated secretly, unless you're a corporation who is an advisor, and you can be part of those negotiations. But the average citizen, including Congress, your congressperson, doesn't even know what's inside the agreement. And so it's just mind-boggling that this is going on. So Ken, who are the parties in this? Who are the countries involved?
There's 12 countries. Right. I don't think we need to list them all.
No, but a couple of the main: Australia, New Zealand,
Brunei,
Chile,
Vietnam,
Malaysia,
Japan,
right?
Canada, United States, Mexico, and this is all for promise of tariffs and threat of marginalizing you for international trade, which is why people sign this. They don't want to be left out. They know what happens in the case of Haiti and Cuba. If you get left out of international trade, you know, it messes things up big time.
Right.
So, you know, that's the carrot and stick all rolled up into one. There's 600 corporate representatives who are doing the actual writing of this. And so all the fossil fuel companies are writing this. Well, they don't want environmental laws. So they're trying to literally make environmental laws throughout North America, South America, and Asia illegal. If you get an actual fracking ban, they'll overturn it. Just as Quebec had a fracking ban and it got attacked under NAFTA.
Who's going to overturn it? Us? Them? The international?
These 600 corporations. One of the companies, they say you have a fracking ban. A fracking company that has an office in Delaware, so they can have their corporate license there, but all their money is offshore. They will sue whatever state, whatever municipality, whatever country has a fracking ban, that, you know, you're costing us future profits. And you can say, yeah, but you're ruining the air, and you're ruining the water, and you're going to pay for these property values, you can pay for the health care. And they're like, no, we don't have to. Because the only thing that Trans-Pacific Partnership is for profit. So profit of the fossil fuel industry overrides the health and well-being of the people in any of the signatory countries.
Why is this going on? Why is the government, the Obama administration, the U.S. trade representatives going to such, when you told me in terms of the secrecy of this and the lack of transparency of it and how it's going to affect the average citizen, are they doing this?
They want to get rid of banking reform. They want to get rid of internet freedom. They want to get rid of generic drugs. They want to get rid of the Endangered Species Act. They want to get rid of social justice laws. They want to get rid of organic food labeling.
Is this the they, meaning those 600?
Those 600 corporations. And
how is the Congress letting this happen? I know
they don't know what's in it. So they're told that people like me who say it's a terrible thing are lying, or we don't know what we're talking about. This is wonderful. It means jobs. And so politicians love to use that word. It means jobs. Every free trade agreement ever passed has cost Americans jobs.
Right.
Right. In 2011, there were three free trade agreements, Panama, Colombia, and South Korea. And that was supposed to mean jobs. That's what they said when they passed it. And every one of those countries' jobs have lost. Their exports to those countries have gone down. Imports from those countries have gone up. The trade deficit has increased in every one of those countries. There was very little activism about those free trade agreements at the time. And I think that's why the Trans-Pacific Partnership accelerated at that point. They figured they had a clear field.
Mm-hmm.
And it took a while. When I presented TPP to the Occupy Wall Street Environmental Solidarity Working Group, I was overwhelmed as I presented it, and they were overwhelmed, but they're like, no, this is it. This is all these issues being boiled together under corporate irresponsibility and government irresponsibility. That's why Occupy Wall Street exists. And as one woman, Michelle, said, wait, look, let's deal with this. First, we'll teach ourselves, and then we'll do a teaching for the general public. Let's teach ourselves first. So we got brought a couple of experts to a meeting. Then we had a couple of forums that were packed.
I mean, on TPP.
On TPP, standing room only. And it's accelerated. Other working groups at Occupy took it on. The unions, seeing all these jobs leaving the country, they've taken it on. The Communications Workers of America, CWA, had a phone conference. And while other unions were working to reelect Obama, they had a phone conference about TPP with over 100 locals around the country. What's interesting is Obama is for this. The Republicans are for this. But the Democrats in Congress are not.
I mean, if I called up my local congresswoman, in this case, local congresswoman, go, I want to know what's in the TPP. Are they going to be able to tell me?
No. No. It is secret to all the members of Congress.
How
you have to
is
fill
that
out
possible?
A ton of... Congressman Grayson from Florida basically bugged them to see it. And it took him a long time. He was allowed to see three chapters. He was not allowed to have a cell phone in the room. He wasn't allowed to take notes. He wasn't allowed to take pictures. He could look at it under supervision of somebody from one of those corporations. And then he had to sign an agreement that he wouldn't tell anybody what he read. Now, he's in the Congress of the United States, and he is not allowed to tell anybody what he read. He only read three of the 29 chapters. I don't know if he read only the three chapters on trade. The rest of the chapters are on basically how to get rid of democracy in different forms.
Here it is, folks. How to get rid of democracy.
And they're like, buy American, all right? And there's a lot of people who are really into buy American. Right. They want to support American jobs and American economy. They're going to redefine buy American as any TPP country. So if it was made by slave labor in Vietnam, people being paid 40 cents a day, because they're a TPP country, they could put a buy American-made label on that.
What?
And so people who are buying American may end up not supporting American jobs at all, but actually supporting jobs leaving the country, because they will redefine the term buy American. As they redefine the term organic, right? It's not this. It doesn't mean the same as it meant before.
Well, they redefine everything, and you don't know what you're getting in anything. And
right.
I mean, just the fact that they have, bond or issues that you know in California when they had Prop 37 or 9 to label, and the, you know, Monsanto and Dow and all those companies just spent millions and millions, and people went you know, so they didn't even get it passed. Now, how can a person not vote to have labels on their food so they know what's in there? What did they do? Like, put something in the water to, like, dumbify everyone? I mean, I'm starting to believe that maybe there's more that in the fracking, that maybe there's some, like, drugs that we don't know about that's making everyone completely, like, idiotic.
It is bizarre, and a lot of it, of course, is they lie, and then they televise the lie over and over and over again.
Yeah, well.
And the people who want to combat the lie don't have that kind of money, so their voices don't get heard. So people believe the lie because they hear it so often.
Well, you tell them.
And mainstream media has advertisements from those people in order to broadcast those lies. So, you know, if you or I were on mainstream media, we would be told you can't say anything against fracking because they're paying your salary.
Right. It's being run by various corporate entities that it's in their best interest to cover up those stories. But what is really fascinating to me is this fast track. The Congress is abdicating their constitutional powers.
You believe that?
It's called Fast Track Authority Bill. Congress gives power to the White House and the U.S. Trade Representatives to negotiate trade agreements. The Constitution says that the Congress has to negotiate trade agreements. Yet they're taking their own power away.
Right.
What is that about? I can't even wrap my head around.
You could say it's laziness. You could
say it's insanity.
Because they, in other words, if you don't have the power to do it, then that's less work you have to do. It could be that their people who give them their campaign contributions tell them to do that, and so they do it in order to have campaign contributions. One of the threats that they make is if you don't do what we say, we'll not only stop funding you, we will fund your opponent. And they'll do this on a very local level. Some of it is pure ignorance.
I still don't understand how Congress can do
that. There's an activist I know. Now, the secrecy has been very successful. There's an activist I know who was talking to a congressperson. I won't say who it is because I don't want to single them out as if they're the only ignorant person in Congress. They're not the only ignorant person in Congress. But this is someone who I have to admit I was surprised when she was surprised about what was in TPP. She didn't know about it. I'm talking about a conversation that happened in late December, early January.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we're talking early 2014, that this person in Congress has been there many, many times, been reelected many times, and is one of the leaders in Congress, and her staffer didn't know about it, and she didn't know about it, and an activist managed to get some FaceTime with her,
mm-hmm.
told her about it. She said she found it hard to believe, did some research, and contacted that activist and said, "You were right. Oh, this is terrible."
Right.
Now, this person didn't want fast track because she doesn't want her power to be given to the executive branch.
Yeah, I mean, so totally, that, fast track would put this in the hands of the executive branch, and they can just sign off
and yet,
without anyone saying anything.
There, a congresswoman named DeLauro from Connecticut did a letter against fast track, and she had over 150 Democrats sign that letter. So that's over three quarters of the Democrats in Congress signed that letter. Meanwhile, Michelle Bachmann wrote a similar letter.
Michelle Bachmann,
of all people. I mean, the fact that I was on Michelle Bachmann's side for even 5 minutes, I was like, okay, you know, anything can happen. And she only got about 30 Republicans to sign the letter. So here you have the Republicans who come across as anything Obama likes, we hate.
Mm-hmm.
And they keep saying this over and over again.
Right.
Everything Obama does is wrong. But they're with him on this.
Well, of course.
Right? The Democrats are not with a Democratic sitting president, but the Republicans are.
Yeah, there's something very wrong with this picture.
It's the corporations are telling the politicians what to do.
Right.
And it's really fascinating. And then in the second week in January, right when they came back, when Congress came back from the Christmas recess, they tried to introduce the fast-track bill. They could not get a single Democratic congressman or congresswoman to sign on to the fast-track bill. Not one.
Yeah, well.
It was introduced by Republicans.
They shouldn't be.
Obama's trying to twist arms has not succeeded. That is citizen activism. No mainstream media did this. It was mm-hmm. all independent media and independent activists. And we can all be really proud of our work on that.
Well,
we haven't won yet.
I'm very thankful that we are getting some small victory somewhere, and also when you see something that says that even Bloomberg, Michael Bloomberg, called TPP an ugly corporate power grab that everyone should avoid.
But he didn't say it by name.
Right, but he.
It was an editorial about because it's a pro-tobacco thing.
Right.
But he didn't say it by name.
Yeah. Well, there's so much to cover on this, Ken, so we'll have to keep coming back and doing little status updates.
Tradewatch.org is the website I would recommend to get information on this.
Right, and there's also another one, citizen.org/TPP.
Yep, and TPP 2012 and flushthetpp.org, that's a good one.
Flushthetpp.org. Well, thank you so much, Ken, for giving us this information, and people out there, please go check it out.
Thank you, Maxine.
It's nice to have you here. There's so much the public needs to know about, which gets glossed over in the mainstream media, and one topic in particular, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, has been covered up with no transparency and limited, if any, public input. The TPP will have far-reaching negative effects on matters of internet freedom, public and food safety, intellectual property, American jobs, and the environment. So do go to www.citizen.org for more info, and you can check out Ken on WDBAI on Tuesdays, Ecologic. And thanks again for being here. And thanks for joining us for the Many Shades of Green, our program about environmental sustainability, politics, culture, the arts, and community. Listen to the show on your laptop, tablet, desktop, or smartphone. Visit us on Facebook. Send us a tweet at TM Shades of Green and subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. A big thank you to Abba Carmichael, my co-producer, and Brian Horowitz, my sound engineer, for all of their help in getting the show up each week. I'm Maxine Margot Rubin, reminding you to pick a shade of green and raise your eco-consciousness and be gentle to the earth, and we'll see you next time.
You're listening to BeeboxRadio.com.